and kind of bounce off of that sweet hour of prayer thought and talk a little bit about Thanksgiving prayer tonight. And I don't want to be incredibly long. It's going to be kind of a sermonette, God willing, and just to challenge you on a few things, and then we'll go to prayer tonight. We'll be in Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4. I do love this time of year. I mean, Thanksgiving time is just it's a wonderful time to step back and reflect upon what God has done for us and the blessings that he has bestowed upon us. And I'm thankful for our country. We still recognize Thanksgiving. Amen. And it's a great holiday that we have. And even though we should be thankful all the time, I'm thankful that our country at least sets aside some time to be thankful for the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Philippians chapter number 4, and very familiar passage of scripture. If you'll look at it with a set of fresh eyes, I think it would be helpful to you here. And sometimes familiarity with the verses tends to make us tune things out. And so let's just concentrate on really the truth of God's word here and look at it with a fresh set of eyes. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6 tells us, "Be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care, but in everything by prayer," that's all communication that's given to God, "and supplication," that's asking God to do something. You see, many of our prayers, I believe, they go unanswered. Why? Because we don't even ask God for anything most of the time. We're not asking for specific things. He wants to answer prayers, but perhaps he would if we would simply ask him specifics. It says, "With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." With thanksgiving. It's a beautiful word, isn't it? So Paul is trying to help focus our prayer and remind us that even in discouraging circumstances that may arise within your life, that we can and we should give thanks. We should give thanks. Even when things are troubling in your life and there's turmoil in your life, you and I should step back and think about things that we can be thankful for. And so with that thought, let's pray and we'll dive in. Father in heaven, I appreciate the time together tonight to, just sing together and read a few announcements and just be with your people. And this is one of my favorite places to be. Be at church, be with the children of God. And as we fellowship and we learn from your word, I pray, God, you would help us, give us eyes to see the scriptures the way you'd want us to tonight and ears to hear them the way you would want us to hear them. And dear God, would you get all the honor and glory for all that's done here tonight. Help us to be a people that is given to a heart of thanksgiving all the time. In Jesus' name, amen. So Thanksgiving prayer is extremely important to have in your prayer life, and what it does as we pray, it guards you. It guards you from being a whining Christian, one that's complaining all the time to God. And so he wants to include thanksgiving within your prayer so you can focus your prayer on him and the goodness that that he has done for you in your life. And we can reflect upon, oh, God is so good. And we don't want to be complaining, whining Christians or have that kind of spirit as we go before God. So you'll often see in scripture that we are to have this prayer of thanksgiving within our prayers. So what is thanksgiving? It means gratitude, gratefulness to God. In fact, it is truly an act of worship, thanksgiving. It's an act of worship. Being thankful towards God, having a thankful prayer, and being grateful to God. Isn't that something that we need to be? Amen? We need to be grateful to God and have that in our prayers as we pray. It is the act of expressing specific gratitude to God for blessings that he has bestowed upon us. And if you were to sit back tonight, and Tuesday we'll listen to some of your blessings that are in your life. But if you sit back and think about it, you have lots to praise God for. Even if we have bad things going on in our life and we have turmoil in our life, there's still something to be thankful for. God has given us so much. He's bestowed so much in our life. Now, this Thanksgiving prayer, it differs a little bit from praise itself, simply praising God. It's a little bit different. Praise focuses on who God is. But Thanksgiving focuses on what God has specifically done for us. That's what Thanksgiving does. It focuses on what God has done for us. One commentator said this: when we give thanks, we give God the glory for what he has done for us. And when we worship or give praise, we give God's glory for what he is himself. And so that's important. Give God glory for who he simply is. He himself and who he is and all his attributes. So Thanksgiving is a form of worship. And that's a wonderful thing. Thanksgiving prayer is a form of worship. And of course, we know worship is the idea of bowing down, to give obeisance to God, to give reverence to God. The idea of laying prostrate. That's a very vulnerable position to be in, isn't it? To be prostrate, to be laying down flat on the ground. And that's the idea of worship when we worship him. And this idea of Thanksgiving prayer is a form of worship. And there's so many benefits to Thanksgiving prayer. So many benefits to it. And in fact, we find them right here in Philippians chapter number 4. As we'll go through these verses, you'll see some of the results or benefits of Thanksgiving prayer. Notice verse number 7. It says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Oh, when the war is raging all around you, you can have tranquility and peace. Isn't that a great thing? You know, we got so many things going on in our life. We've got this, we got the job, we've got these problems, we got custody issues, and we've got this problem. We've got to try to figure out how to make ends meet and bring home the bacon, and we've got, you know, spousal issues and children issues and all kinds of other things that come. And through all that, if we have a spirit of thanksgiving, prayer, we can have peace. We can have peace. We can have tranquility within that. That's what God promises us. So I want you to notice here types of peace that you and I can have. I want you to look at the very first one. It's found in Romans chapter number 8, if you can. Romans chapter number 8. Keep your ribbon there in Philippians. We'll go back. Go to your left to Romans chapter number 8. I want you to notice the first peace that you can have. And it's okay to say amen. Amen. Wake up out here, Crossview Baptist Church. Wake up, amen. And help the pastor out, amen. That means you say amen. You say, go sick him, pastor. Go get him, pastor. Get him, amen. That's what you want. And so hey, it's okay to say amen. All right, Romans chapter number 8, verse number 38. I want you to notice the first peace we can have. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." The first amount of peace that you can have here is that your soul will be secure. Amen. God promises that your soul is secure in him, and no one can pluck you out of his hands. And Paul here is telling us there's literally nothing in this world that can take you from the grip of Jesus' hand. Once you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit promise. And no one can take you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have eternal security. Your soul is secure. And this is the result of this prayer. God will give you that peace, amen, that, you know what, no matter what's going on, I'm going to heaven. I got Jesus. No matter what's going on and all the stuff's going on in this world right now, we can all sit here and say, well, I got the Lord. No matter what, I got Jesus. And no one's going to take him from me. My soul is secure. And then I want you to notice that you can have peace in this life as well. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. So we find that our soul is secure, then I want you to know you can have peace in this life. John 16 and verse 33 says, "These things have I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have" what? What's that word, class? Peace. "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Aren't you glad about that? We could have peace when all the things in this life are going crazy. We still can have that peace. We can have peace in this life. God has promised to give that to us. And then go back to Philippians chapter 4. I want you to see the next benefit of this thanksgiving prayer. Verse number 8. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise," if there be any praise, "think on these things." I want you to notice here tonight that you can have right thinking. You can have right thinking when you have this Thanksgiving prayer in your life. You can have right thinking. God's telling us here that all these things can be ours if we are have the right spirit. You don't understand what being thankful can do for you. It puts you in the right frame of mind. It does. It puts you in the right frame of mind. You're because when you're thankful to God, you're having the right relationship and you're having the right communication with God because of your heart being thankful for what he's done for you. And he's going to give you these things. He's going to give you these things. Notice the next benefit, verse number 9. "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do," notice, "and the God of peace shall be with you." I want you to notice he'll give you direction in your life. You'll have that direction that you need. What do I need to do, Lord? Where do you want me to go? What step do you need me to take? He's going to provide that direction in your life. Notice the next benefit, verse number 11. It says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." So we find contentment is your next benefit. Paul could say that his thankfulness was not based upon his own need. He could say that. In fact, even though Paul was in need, of course he was in need, he was content where he was at. And currently, when this was being penned, he was in a Roman prison. But yet Paul here could say that I am content. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. That's God. Only God could do that in Paul. He's content. I'm not content locked up in this Roman prison. It's probably rats, big old huge rats and stuff, and I'm starving half to death and chained to the floor. They don't have prisons. The prisons then are nothing like ours. I mean, they chain your leg to the floor, and you only had so much movement. And he didn't get to rec time and big television to watch TV and all these things and, you know, all these three or four square meals a day and that kind of thing. No, he said, "I'm still content. I have contentment." That's an amazing thing. So Paul is saying his thankfulness was not based upon his own need. I want you to notice how he got this contentment. Did you notice that? Verse number 11. "Not that I speak in respect of want." He said, "For I have" what? "Learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." He learned this. He learned to be content. It's not something that just came to him one day, just popped in his mind, "I'm content today." No, he had to learn to be content, whatever state that he was in. He learned contentment. I want you to notice the results of Thanksgiving prayer in verse number 12. "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound." He says, "I know how to be ranked below others that should be, rewarded." He goes on to say that I know how to be abased. I know how to be to abound. And so he knew how to be low. He knew how to be high. You know, he experienced everything. Of course, Paul most likely was at some point, probably was well off, I'd imagine. You know, he was well taught and things of that nature, and he learned from the best schools of that time, and so he knew everything. He knew how to be based. He knew how to abound in things. Notice, he understood those things. He understood contentment in those things. I want you to notice verse number 13. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's one of our famous verses, isn't it? We love that one. We love that. I can do all things. We sing songs about it. I can do all things. Christ who gives me strength. And beautiful songs they are. But how does God provide strength? Through thanksgiving prayer. I truly believe that. Having a heart that's full of thanksgiving and in your prayers. So, class, thanksgiving should be in our prayers. It should be throughout our prayers. When we're praying, they should be there. They should probably be at the top of your list. Just thanking God. Take a few minutes and simply just thank him for a while for his goodness and for his love and for his mercy and all those things. And just have a heart of thanksgiving. We should abound with thanksgiving. Notice Colossians. You should be right next door. Colossians chapter 2. You'll see this theme of thanksgiving will keep popping up here in the New Testament. Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding. That means to overflow. That's what that word means. Overflow with thanksgiving. That's what Paul is telling us to have there. Then I want you to notice number next, we need to have an attitude of thanksgiving. Go to chapter 4 of Colossians. Notice verse number 2. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. The same thing that pops up for us, that we need to have this attitude of thanksgiving. It should be filling our prayers as we pray. Why is this important? Well, it draws us to him. How many of you want to be drawn towards God and God to be drawn towards you? Amen. And that's what it does. Who doesn't want to be thanked? We like it. Surely God loves it too. He wants to be thanked for his goodness and see that his children appreciate him and they recognize the blessings that he has showered upon of their lives. Of course he wants to hear that. So it's going to draw us to him. It helps us to recognize all of life's blessings. That's what it does. It draws your heart to God. I like this point. It says it takes our attention from self. Because we're always thinking about ourselves. What do I need? God, help me with this and help me with that. Nothing wrong with asking for petitions. That's another message. But understand that we still need to be filled with thanksgiving. And so God wants us to take our attention off of ourselves and place it where it should be centered on Jesus. And that way your prayers are more effective when he sees that you have a heart of thanksgiving. I want you to notice it is the prayer warrior's special gift to God for his kindness. If you'll turn with me to Psalm 116. It's our gift to God. Psalm 116. We have any prayer warriors in here? Amen. Hopefully we do. We got some prayer warriors. People that like to pray and battle, do battle. That's what that means. You're doing battle. And you're petitioning the throne of grace for many things, for your life and for your church and for the spiritual wickedness that's going all around. And you're praying and you're battling. And God needs some prayer warriors to make a difference. And oh, how we can make a difference if we had some more prayer warriors in our country, huh? If we have more people who are dedicated to prayer, you guys can look up here for a minute. I'm talking. You guys are looking for that verse. Like, oh, man, I need to find that verse. I'll give it to you here in a second. But my goodness, we need some prayer warriors at Crossview Baptist Church. Willing to come during the prayer meetings for the ladies' prayer, for the men's prayer, and for corporate prayer, and individual prayer, and for solitary prayer, whatever it is. But we need to pray. And we need to have that heart of prayer all the time and a heart of thanksgiving. Notice Psalm 116. We're going to look at verse number 12. The Bible says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" What shall I render? Because he's given me so much. Notice verse 17. He says, "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord." That's a special gift to God for his kindness. It's a sacrifice of thanksgiving that you're given to him. We see this heart of thanksgiving in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our ultimate example, isn't he? And he was a thankful, thankful person on this earth. I want you to notice he was thankful at the resurrection of Lazarus. He had a spirit of thanksgiving. Notice in John chapter number 11, please. You're doing a great job turning your Bibles. Thank you for bringing your Bibles to Bible study. Amen. John chapter number 11. This was important to him, having the spirit of thanksgiving. John chapter number 11, verse number 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." The first thing he said is, "I thank thee, Father. I thank thee." He was thankful. He had a spirit of thankfulness. And then Jesus, again in Mark 8:6, we'll see his another form of thankfulness. Mark 8. We'll see here at the feeding of the multitude. Mark 8 and verse number 6. "And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples and to set before them. And they did set them before the people." By the way, that's why we pray before we eat. We give the example of Scripture, right? We give thanks unto God. Before we break the bread, we give thanks. And we see Jesus here doing the same thing. Thank you, God. I mean, if you can fathom that, Jesus is God, yet he's thankful to God. I mean, it's a lot to put your mind around, but he still had that spirit. Because obviously there's the Father, there's the Trinity, right? The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But yet he was always thankful to his Father for doing what he did for him. I want you to notice one more time, Matthew chapter number 11. We'll see him here as he's teaching his disciples the spirit of thankfulness. Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse number 25. The Bible tells us, "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes." And so he's talking to his disciples. He's instructing them here. And he's also showing thankfulness towards the Father. So as we pray, be specific to remember how God has generously provided for you. Be specific. Thank you, Jesus, for gravity. Amen. Whatever. You know, do we ever do that, by the way? Do we ever thank Jesus for gravity, that we don't just float away into the sky, you know, that we are grounded on the ground and all the other things that gravity does? You know, are we thankful specifically for specific things? Or are we thankful for the chair that you sit in? I mean, it's little things like that that we need to be thankful for. Thank you, God, we have great chairs to sit in at church. Somebody sacrificed for this. I don't even know who this person is who bought these chairs. They bought 90 chairs or something like that. And thank God they did that. I don't even know who that person is. That was years and years ago. But thankful that that happened. We're thankful for the air conditioner and the heater in the room. I mean, do we ever think like that? I know it seems trivial, but because we take it, it's very trivial, he said, but because we take it for granted, these things. Oh, we have. Well, we always have an air conditioner. We always have fans going. You know, we have televisions. You know, we always have chairs. No, thank God for the little things, even that we perceive to be little things, but be specific about those. So, types of peace. We talked about that, and we're thankful for all that God is doing for us in those things. And so, let's review what we talked about here today. And so the types of peace he's going to give us, he's going to give us that peace as we have Thanksgiving prayer. When the war is raging all around us, we can have that tranquility and we can have that peace, all because of Thanksgiving prayer. We can realize that our soul is secure. We can realize that we can have peace in this life. We can have right thinking because we're thankful. We can have direction in our life. And then we find that we can have contentment, like Paul had contentment. And then we're able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. All because we have the right spirit and the right attitude of thanksgiving. And so let me encourage you to allow your prayers to contain thanksgiving all the time. Not just at Thanksgiving, but all the time. Let us be a thankful people for what God has done for us and all the blessings that he has bestowed upon us. Man, we need to remember that. We don't know what 2024 is going to contain for all of us. But right now, we can be thankful for what he's done for us and the blessings that he has given us. And so we'll continue this thought on Tuesday. We'll have some more in the same sort of sphere. And so let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we truly need to be more of a thankful people and appreciate all those things that you have done for us. And Father, we give you the glory tonight. We give you the praise for what you're going to do. And I think if we become more prayer warriors and more thankful prayer warriors, we can really do a big difference in our community, in our lives. And we're so thankful for you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and securing my salvation. And I have a reason to be here tonight and to preach the word that I truly believe in my heart that everyone needs to hear. And dear God, bless the time to follow as we pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.